Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, Zaman. Good afternoon,
listeners. Are you well this afternoon? Have you been having a good day?
I am well. We have been blessed by the rains this week.
Oh, lovely, man. You know, I just love the rains. We've also been blessed by the rains, by the way, daily this week. So we must praise God for that. Thank you so much for highlighting that. Literally throughout the region, it looks like it's like that. Now, you know, we're still talking about trusting God in every single season. And those of you who were not able to join us yesterday, and if you're just tuning in today, you have not missed out. We started yesterday. We're still going on Friday. And we often pray for it. We strive for it. But when growth actually happens in our lives, whether spiritually, professionally, or personally, it can often feel just as challenging, as unsettling as a season of waiting that we spoke about yesterday. Now, the expanding responsibilities, new opportunities, and shifting dynamics can sometimes leave us feel stressed, thin, and unsure of how to manage the very blessings we asked for. Now, Pastor, how do you define a season of growth in the Christian life? And what are some common signs that someone might be entering that season?
Thank you. A season of growth is a time when God is intentionally shaping you, deepening your character, stretching your faith, and drawing you closer to His purposes. Mm. The signs are so many, but chief among them, you will have this increased spiritual hunger and conviction. Mm-hmm. You will also face disruptions to comfort zones. Mm. Usually, growth does not happen when we are in our comfort zone. So, God is highly likely to disrupt your comfort zones, take you out from where you are comfortable, and put you where you are completely out of control. There might be new responsibilities or new opportunities on the horizon coming up. You will have this inner steering for change. And you definitely are going to be tested. Your patience, your faith is going to be tested severely.
Now, we often associate growth with positive, comfortable experiences, but the truth is that as you are saying, it really can be uncomfortable. I mean, you've already discussed this. Now, why is discomfort or pressure often a necessary part of God's growth process?
Yeah, discomfort. Why does God use discomfort and pressure? Why is it a necessity on his part, as part of the growth process? Because growth rarely happens in ease. Pressure has a tendency of revealing what's hidden, and it also builds endurance. There are certain people who, when they are squeezed under pressure, that's when the pearls, the gems come. You know the story of that? The pearls, how expensive they are, they are produced through immense pressure. Pressure also builds endurance, just like those who go to the muscles, to the gym. Muscles need resistance to strengthen. Our faith depends through trials. If you read James chapter 1, starting from verse 2 to 4, it mentions that the trial of our faith will work out patience. And discomfort will remove dependence on self, and it will teach us to truly rely on God fully. So what God does usually, he will put you in situations where you are completely out of control. When you are out of control and you feel I am out of my depth here, that's when it comes in. God usually does not work with people who have an ego. You remember what we said yesterday about Joseph? The dungeon, the prison, the enslavement was necessary to deal with the potential ego that Joseph would have had and said, you know, I listened to God, I achieved all this because of, so God would take him out of space so that at the end he would say, no, but this could only be God. Most of the times, God will use discomfort and pressure to remove our dependence. We are highly self-dependent.
Mm.
We have the script. We know what we want to achieve. We have our plan A and plan B and plan. So God will frustrate us until we realize we are not in control.
Mm.
God is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now, what are some of the biggest challenges or fear people face when they feel that God is stretching them beyond their comfort zones? I mean, you are saying that God will stretch you. Now, any biggest fears that people might be having?
Yeah. In fact, almost always when people are pushed beyond their limit and they are pushed out of their comfort zones, fear kicks in. Especially fear of failure, fear of inadequacy, fear of losing the plot, fear of being not in control. Let me give a biblical example of a man called Gideon. On Judges chapter 7, Gideon was told by God to go and fight the Midianites. He had an army. His army was big. His army was 32,000. But the Midianites' army was way much bigger. They were 3 to almost 4 times bigger, the size of his army. They were 135,000. And what does God do in such a situation where Gideon's definitely going to be afraid and wants to strengthen himself to say, well, we are 32,000, but God is with us. God says, Gideon, you have too many people there. I mean, he's definitely, he needs numbers on his side. God says, no, the 32,000 are too much. Tell everyone that everyone who is afraid must go back home. Imagine you are the commander and you have to do that. And you have to take the remaining soldiers to war. And when he says that, 22,000 leaves. And he's left with 10,000 soldiers. And God says, 10,000 are still too many. Take them to the river. And he takes them to the river. He says, let them drink. And those who drink like the gods do, and those who were using their hands to drink, put them aside. And 300 did not put their swords and their shields down. One hand was holding the sword, the other hand was scooping the water. And he says, the 300 that are remaining, those are the people that you must go to. If you were Gideon, you have 300 soldiers versus 135,000, completely out of the depth. Why does God do that? So that he shows you that it's not you who is going to fight there. It's me who is going to fight, so that when Gideon wins, he will never say, I had a well-trained army. We did it. There's fear of failure there, inadequacy. Then loss of control and predictability. Most of the times we are afraid of being predictable. So God will take that away from us and he will plunge us into uncertain territories, and there will be rational shifts or isolation. We are afraid of being isolated and being laughed by others and say, look where he started. Since he started this church thing, this guy was brilliant at school, but look at him now. You know, this church is making him dull. this church is making him achieve less.
Yeah.
We have that here. So doubts, one of the chief among the problems, the challenges is that you might end up doubting whether you are truly hearing God or it's you who has made a wrong decision.
Yeah.
If you take the story of Joshua, maybe we'll discuss it later. But Joshua also, he's supposed to go and fight the city of Jericho. It's a high-walled city, fortified, and God says, go and walk around the city. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. There were archers there, people who could shoot arrows. When you come close to the range of the archers, you're gone. Mm. And God says, don't take weapons, go and surround the city and sing. That's a risky. And Joshua realizes this is mission impossible. Let me go and pray. When he goes to pray, a giant, God, comes in. And he says, are you one of us or against us? And God says, nay, I'm not one of you, and I'm not against you. I'm the commander. So God usually takes you where you are out of your depth so that you completely surrender and depend on him. So we need to learn how to overcome these challenges.
You know, and you talk about challenges and you talk about these difficult times, and many of us actually don't want to get through that. We want to skip that process and get straight to where the blessing begins. Now, how can we be present with God in the journey, the journey that you just described, rather than only focusing on the end point, which is the blessing?
Thank you. That's a brilliant question. So I'm going to use the Joshua example that I give. Most of the times, we said it yesterday, we have a tendency of pushing happiness further and say, I will rest when I get this. I will relax when I achieve this. I will be happy when I achieve this. And these things, they keep on flying, and they keep on coming and keep on chasing these things until we are in our graves. So what Joshua does, he goes to pray and God appears. What is he praying for? He's definitely praying for a strategy. What strategy can I use to go and win this war? And God says, the strategy, take off your shoes. What is your strategy? I don't need your strategy. Most of the times, you want to try and help God.
Yeah.
So how can we be present with God? One, we must practice daily gratitude. Gratitude and reflection.
Yeah.
Every day, look at the things to be grateful for. Find reasons for things that you can say, God, because of this, thank you. So we must practice daily gratitude. We must also meditate on scripture. That reminds us that God is with us. So I like scripture like Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, that says God is a present help in times of need. So God is always with us. No matter what we are going through, just knowing that he is here with us, that's enough. If you go to chapter 16 of the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas are put in prison, they are singing in prison, celebrating, glorifying God in prison. Most of us, if we were to be taken to prison, we would pray, complaining, why me? Why are you sending me to prison? What have I done? Why do you allow me, the only person who is trying to do what is right for you? I am being arrested for doing what is right. They glorify God in prison to such a point that when the prison doors open, they do not think of rushing out. They are okay with being with God in the prison. So they were comfortable there. On chapter 12 of the same book, Acts, Peter, when he was in prison, he was sleeping, knowing that tomorrow is the day of his execution. Why? He had this peace with God, that God, when God is with me, everything is okay. So we can only reach that point if we meditate upon scripture and be reminded of what God says to us about his presence. We must also stay in community and share the process of the journey. We must embrace small wins and celebrate them. Most of us are afraid to celebrate the small wins because of the pressure of social media, because there's someone else celebrating something big. How can I celebrate this small? That's their life. This is yours. So celebrate the small wins. Remember, God values who you are becoming, not just where you are going.
You know, Pastor, you, and this is actually very lovely to talk about. It's just that the practical part is a bit difficult. Now, how can we discern God's will and direction during, you know, a time of transition or growth, especially, you know, when things feel uncertain? You know, sometimes, Pastor, I must just give you an example. When God asks the devil, "Have you seen my son Job?" It is the devil who was orchestrating the whole thing, of course, given the permission to do so by God. But how do we know that this is now God's will and direction? It's not the devil trying me, because it may be difficult to actually discern.
That's true. This is one of the most difficult questions to answer. The how part, to discern God's will. So I'm going to try here. There are lines that we should not pass. The first one is, there must be a confirmation from Scripture. Okay, so for that to happen, then you need to prioritize prayer and reading the Word of God. Know how God deals with people in certain situations. Most of the times, whatever you know, whether you want to know what I want to do, it's God's will or it's not God's will, does it not violate Scripture? That's the first fundamental question that you ask yourself. If it does not violate Scripture, then you must also pray for spiritual discernment. Okay. This is it's a gift that God gives to say, "God, help me to see this." Sometimes it's us who are having this feeling and we think it's God. Sometimes it's the devil who is initiating this thing and we think it's God. So we need to ask God and say, "God, is this you or not?" And ask for God to give you spiritual discernment, and you can also pay attention to spiritual peace versus anxiety. There are certain things where when you are completely out of control, but you have this peace that you can't explain. And then when you are anxious, check those. You can also watch for confirmation. Sometimes the confirmation may come through the opening of certain doors. Sometimes it may come through the closing of certain doors. Most of the problem is that when we pray and we are asking for God's will, we are not genuine. We have our own will. You know, it's not bad to have the will. It's God who has given us this will. But it's okay to be honest with God and say, "God, this is my will, but I am okay if you show me yours and give me the peace of mind." You remember Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane?
Yeah.
He wanted the cup to pass. That was the human will, but he kept on submitting to God's will. So we must be honest at least and say, "God, this is what I would want to have. But if this is not your will, show me your will and give me peace of mind." Most of the times when these doors open or close, we want to force things. There are certain doors that sometimes when you pray for God's will, some people will leave you and you will force and you pray for God to bring back those people. And yet God knows where you want to go. You will not reach these people. So let those doors close. Sometimes God opens certain doors that are comfortable. To follow through, and we are in our comfort zones. And then the last one, you must stay obedient Even in the small things. When God tells you to do things, do it. No matter how small, if you can't say, God, I know, I hear you, this is what you want me to do, I need power. On my own, I cannot do it. Help me to obey you. Remain obedient. Check if you are not violating scripture. Most of the times, clarity often comes through movement, not passivity. Most of us, we say, I'm praying for God's will, and we are doing that. Move. As you move, God will confirm no. No. Yes. No. But if you are praying for God's will and you are seated, and you are not moving, you will not have that clarity. Yeah, that's the answer that I can give there. Most of the times, how do you know it's God's will? It should be one out of your comfort. It must be scary enough. It should not make sense. Most of the times when God speaks, what he says does not make sense to us because he's big. His mind is different from our minds. Imagine God saying, go to war with 300 men versus 135,000. It does not make sense.
Yeah.
When you are praying for God's will, do not look for sense. Look for what God is saying through scripture and your peace.
Yeah.
And be willing.
Beautiful one. And somebody may be listening, Pastor, very briefly, and they may be saying, man, you know, this is good, but I'm exhausted. I've been waiting, etc. And they're waiting for their harvest time, and it's not coming, and it's taking long. Is there some word of encouragement, briefly?
Yeah, definitely. These things happen. So I'll just use one word, one verse, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I think it's verse 9. Okay, let me quickly find it. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 says, we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up. So there are two points there, growing weary and giving up. Sometimes this life is a funny way of dealing hard blows to those who are actually, who have good intentions, and rewarding those who are actually messing up. So, what encouragement do we get from Galatians? God sees your faithfulness. Don't give up. At the proper time, you will reap. You might not see the results now. Delay is not denial. Even when no one does or sees what you are doing, how faithful you have been, God is watching you. Growth is happening underground before it's visible. Rest in knowing that your labor is not in vain, and he is preparing a harvest that's worth the wait. So hang on. At the proper time, the harvest will be good, and you will rejoice. You will have a story to tell. Keep on being good.
Yeah.
God sees you. God loves you. God blesses you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. We will connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. What a breath of fresh air to hear you outlining and breaking down this very difficult topic, I must say. Thank you so much, and stay blessed.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.